No one who knew Lisbet Wilson would have recognized her in Chantahal Blondi's warm but extremely plain Harchong-style poncho, worn over an equally utilitarian hooded woolen coat. At least, Lisbet thought, as she tucked her mittened hands into her armpits under the poncho, burrowed her chin deeper into her woven muffler, and hunched her head against the wind. She devoutly hoped they wouldn't have. She'd always hated Zion in the winter. Her husband's estates lay in the southern Temple lands, just across the border from the princedom of Tanshar. Lisbeth's own family, although it had connections to quite a few of the great church dynasties, was Tansharan. And while winter could be cold enough along the Gulf of Tanshar, it was never as bitterly frigid as winter in Zion. Her husband had been born barely 5 miles on the Temple Land side of the border, and he fully understood and shared her distaste for Zion winters. He seldom insisted that she join him here for the winter months. He hadn't planned on her joining him this winter either, and for considerably more weighty reasons than her dislike for snow. In fact, he'd sent her word, very discreetly, that he thought it would be wise for her to make alternate travel plans. Unfortunately, she'd become aware, even before his message arrived, of the fact that she and the children were being watched. It hadn't been anything most people would have noticed, but Lisbet Wilson wasn't most people. She was a smart, observant woman who'd recognized when she accepted Samuel Wilson's proposal that wedding a husband from that particular dynasty was inevitably going to embroil her in temple politics. The notion had repelled her, but despite the differences in their ages, Samuel most definitely had not. Her lips twitched in bittersweet memory, and she'd shared his outrage over what Mother Church had become. She hadn't expected things to get this bad, not really. No one ever really expected the end of their world, even when they genuinely thought they were prepared for it. Yet she'd always been at least intellectually prepared for the possibility of disaster, and over the last couple of years, especially since the Group of Four's disastrous assault on the Kingdom of Karas, she'd been quietly taking precautions of her own. And unlike the other members of Samuel's circle within the vicarate, Lisbet had known who the true hub for the reformists' communications had been. When Adarai Dinis had been forced to flee to Karas following her husband's arrest, she'd passed her own responsibilities on to Lisbet. In the process, she'd had to give Lisbet certain information only Adarai and Samuel had possessed, which meant Lisbet had become aware of Angelic Ponda's importance to the circle, even though almost no one else in the circle had entertained the least suspicion of that importance. So far as Lisbet knew, she and Samuel, and Samuel's brother Howard, were now the only people in the Temple Lands who knew about Angelic's connection to the circle at all. So when she'd realized she and the children were being watched, that any effort to flee would be instantly intercepted, she'd decided on a plan of her own. Instead of staying away from Zion, she'd written, openly, using her privileges as a senior vicar's wife, to send it over the church semaphore, to tell Samuel she'd be joining him there this winter after all. And she'd made arrangements to do just that. Then she'd made rather different and much quieter arrangements with Angelic. She hadn't expected all three of the Inquisitors who'd been spying on her to end up dead in the process, but she hadn't shed any hypocritical tears over their demises either. Unfortunately, Angelic's initial plan to immediately get her and the children out of the Temple Lands had proved unworkable, in light of the clandestine but intense search for them which Willem Reyno had instigated. The open hunt for her family's abductors would have been a serious obstacle under the best of circumstances. Yet it was Reyno's ruthlessly efficient secret hunt which had inspired Angelic's caution. and her determination to get as many other families out of the city as she can, Lisbeth reminded herself now. The selfish mother in her, the mother who wanted her children in safety and Shan Wei with anyone else's children, bitterly resented that decision on Angelic's part. Most of her, though, agreed entirely. Despite her terror for her own family's safety, she knew that simply abandoning anyone else they could have saved would have been a betrayal of everything the Circle had ever stood for. And since her husband and her brother-in-law and most of their dearest friends in the Vicarate were going to die for what the Circle had stood for, Lisbeth Wilson could no more have betrayed their cause than Angelic could. None of which had made the nerve-wracking 5 days hiding here in Zion, the city which had become the heart of the beast itself, any easier to endure. The good news was that Shantahal Blondie didn't look at all like Lisbeth Wilson. She was older, her hair was a different color. She had a prominent mole on her chin, and she was at least 30 pounds heavier than slender, youthful Madame Wilson. Not only that, but whereas Madame Wilson had been accompanied by both of her sons and her daughter when she disappeared, Shantahal had only a single son. It was amazing how skilled someone who'd followed Angelic's vocation became when it came to matters of cosmetics and hair dye, and winter clothing made it far easier to pad one's figure without anyone noticing. And while most mothers wouldn't normally have wanted their 12-year-old daughters and 8-year-old sons spending the winter in what was, however elegant it might be, a house of ill repute, Lisbeth had no concern in Jeanette's or Archibald's case. In fact, she couldn't think of any place they might have been safer, and her greatest concern had been that one of them, especially Archibald, in view of his youth, might inadvertently betray them all to the Inquisition.